right, give each other a high five. High five. Well, I adore my mother. I could just sit there and listen to her for the rest of my life, and hopefully I will just continue to do so. It has been that way my whole life. And, you know, it's been funny. This process has been quite interesting. But I want you to know you're not just getting someone up here that is dinky and woohoo and la la land. And I'll tell you a little bit about me. My name is Jessica Roth, and I am probably the woman version of Pastor Jim. Yeah. And my mom's like, oh, yeah, she is. But I also have all the good qualities of my mom. So I have been through my own journey in the past 3 years. We have been doing this transition for a very long time, and there's been very many steps to this transition. There's been a ton of tests, I would say, and trials. I'm going to fix this so you guys can hear me better. Is that better? There's been many tests. There's been many trials. There's been many periods of wanting to quit. There's been many fights, good fights. Ooh, the Cobras, we could fight good. And then poor Dan, he's like in the middle, like going, oh my gosh, they're never going to talk to each other again. And then we hug and love and kiss and we're fine. And then he's like, wow, that was it, you know? So we're very intense people, okay? But you know what? We have been through hell and back, each and every one of us, in our own story. And then together as a family. We have built this church together as a family. Should I just use a mic handheld? No? Okay. We have built this church together, I'd like to think. Because I was sleeping on the ground when they were praying for you guys up in the mountains, when they were praying over the city and they were pastoring the other church. Luke and I were like, what are you doing? You know, like, this is crazy. It's 4 a.m. Do you see the lights in the city? I mean, my mom, you know, she's just so spiritual. I'm like, yeah, go to bed, you know? And I sat there and I heard every prayer. I saw every tear. I saw every, you know, hard-earned cash dollar that they have built this house with their own money. I'm just telling you, these are people that have done amazing things for the kingdom of God. And I, as the second generation coming behind, am not going to waste that. I am not going to put that to the side. I know the price that has been paid. And I am just going to continue building on the foundation that they have had. And so we as a team here at this church, we have a great teaching team. You girls have the best teaching team. I personally have been around the world with my mother, and I've heard people preach. And, you know, they're in front of thousands and thousands of women. And I'm sitting there going, well, I don't know. Pastor Sue's message was really good last week. Like, you know. So I'm telling you, you have the best Bible teachers in this church. And we're pretty blessed to have the team that we have in this church. So I just want you to know you are in good hands. And we are praying for you guys while you go and you get healed and you just, I'm praying you get healed and go play a little because they have worked so hard. I want them to go see the world and hold hands on a beach and walk and just enjoy each other because I've watched you two work your whole lives. And so, you know, this is your season to just breathe. And then you get to come back and play in the pulpit, the sandbox. They call the pulpit the sandbox. You know, it's like the fun part of pastoring. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to get into the word today. Are you guys ready to get into the word? I've been praying a lot this probably for the past 3 months and just going, okay, Lord, what is it you want to do with girlfriends during this season? And he began to speak to me that this church was founded on Isaiah 58. And he said, go to Isaiah 58. So I began reading Isaiah 58, and I'm going through it, and I'm like, wow, that's just so good. Now, I am also now taking on the outreach ministries as well here. So I'm like, oh, this is so good, you know, for the outreach. It's so good for who we are. And the Lord says, no, you're going to start it in the beginning of the year. And so I called this series Kicking It Up a Notch. You know, we live these lives, and we do our daily routines, and we have our circle of friends, and we have are very busy moments of life. I mean, seriously, can you keep up on the laundry? I don't know about you, but it's just never ending. And, you know, I even went down today, and the stinking washing machine was, like, water all over. And I'm, like, stepping over water going, honey, you got to fix that before you leave, you know. It's just chaos. There's always something that's going to come up in our lives. But yet the Lord is saying, can you put that stuff aside, daughter? Because I'm asking you in your own personal walk with me, not the kids walk with me, not the husbands, not the friends, not the family members that may be living with you, not whatever situation you're in, you and me. And I said, okay. And he goes, and call a fast. And now you've heard, if you've been in any of our services, that we have called a corporate fast. I call it a corporate fast. This church is on a fast this month, and we are believing God for some pretty big things. And so I believe that we are called, as Christians, to fast, pray, and give. Those three things always go together. We need to be a generous person, giving body of Christ. We need to be in prayer and on our face. We need to find out and seek the Lord on matters. But with all of that comes fasting. And you go, oh, gosh, if I would have known you were talking about fasting, I would not come today. Listen, I would not have come either. Because nobody wants to be like, yay, we're fasting, you know. But this is how it works. Fasting is ordained by God. You don't realize how powerful fasting is. I believe it unlocks heaven for us here on earth. I believe it brings us closer to the throne room. I believe that we begin to hear God clearer than we've ever heard him before. I believe that there's miracles intertwined with our fasting. I believe that there's breakthrough that is weaved in with our prayers while we're fasting. I believe that God sees our sacrifice and he begins to pay more close. Ooh, look at that sacrifice there. Look at what she's doing for me. Look at how much she loves me. Listen, he begins to bend down and say, what is it you need, daughter? I'm hearing now. And now you can hear me because we're closer. You know, when I'm far away, you can't hear me. And you have you ever done that to your kids? We have upstairs, downstairs in our house. And I'm like, hey, Chloe, can you da-da-da-da-da? What? Hey, Chloe. And I repeat myself like four times. And she, what? Finally, I just go downstairs and I'm like, Chloe, can you da-da-da-da? And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, it's not until I actually moved myself closer to Chloe did she hear the instructions I was giving her. Sometimes we're so far away from God, and we don't even realize it because we're caught up in the mundane of every day. When we take time to fast, I believe it kind of pulls us closer to what it is he needs to say to us. And he's going, thank you. Now we're close enough and we can talk about what's going on. And so that's where we're going. We, last year, I don't know if you remember, but we were going through, how many of you were here last year? Awesome. So towards the end of the year, we had a praise and worship session, and God just moved. And I remember getting up, and God was speaking through me. And I remember him saying that blessings are coming for this church, that we are on the horizon. We are on the horizon of blessing. And I never left me. I was just like, wow, okay. And I feel like after we take time out to fast, that we're going to see what those blessings are. When we begin to set up blessings, they are anointed, but we have to be ready to shed the old us and get into the face of God. In Jeremiah 29:11, turn with me, girls. How many of you got your Bibles? This is a Bible study, okay? So I'm encouraging you to get your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, you come talk to me. We'll hook you up. We will get you a Bible. Because I believe that this is the everyday good word, and you can use it on your phone, yes, but I think you need a good old paperback Bible. I'm a little old school, whatever. Yes, I was born in 79, so, you know, I'm a little old school. It was funny, my husband said last night he was talking with one of our young worship leaders, because I've never felt old until I started talking about the show Blossom, and they had no idea what I was talking about. See, some of you remember that show. Yeah, well, the ones under us don't even know what that is. They're all, what is Blossom? So anyways, we are getting there. We get it. Jeremiah 29:11 is my favorite verse, but I love how it continues. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, and to give you a future and a hope. So many times, other things are coming in our minds, they're filling our space, and they're telling the opposite of that to us. How many times have you been like, oh, I'm just not good enough. Okay, listen, I'm so guilty of this. Not good enough. This is not, I'm not pretty enough. I wish that I was skinnier. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. You know what God's going, hello, what? That is not what I said about you, daughter. Go back to 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is what God wants for us. And then he goes on, I love how he does this. He always tells us how to do it. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Listen, that's what we're going to do in this fast. We are going to go call upon God. We are going to pray to him, and we are going to listen. Sometimes we like to talk. Sometimes you just need to sit in a room quietly and listen. Say, what do you need to tell me, God? In verse 13, and you will seek me, and I love this, and find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Listen, he has purposes and plans for us. The benefits of fasting are that God is going to take us up a notch, that he's going to bring us to a new level in our walk with him, that he wants something deeper for us. He wants something deeper for you. You say, I don't know. I love God. I kind of done God. I've done the God thing. No. This is not, we don't just do God. Okay? We don't do God. We live for God. We are his daughters. Yeah. That means that we represent him. Yes. When you're in the store, I saw a girl walking the other day at Target, and she had her big shirt on that said, shine the light. What was the other one? Put on love. Thank you. I'm so glad that you all remember the shirts that we've made. Put on love. And I thought, you go, girl. And I was like, hey, good job. And she was like, what? But you know what? You guys are walking testimonies of God's goodness. And I just want you to remember that that means you are responsible for your time with him. I can't say to my kids, it's all your fault. I didn't get to be with God today. I can't say to Dan, you know what, you asked me to do this, you asked me to do that, and late at night you want to be with me, I don't got any time for God. You know, we can do the woe me's all we want, but you will make time to go hang out with your friends. You will make time to go out to eat. You will make time to watch that movie, that housewives show you shouldn't be watching. You will make time, no, I'm serious, you will make time for whatever it is that your little heart desires. But you will make time for God. And I think he's saying to us girls, it's time to kick it up a notch.
Yeah, good.
I deserve more than what you're giving me. I'm a bigger God than you're giving me credit for. I'm the great I am. I am the Alpha and not the Omega. I'm the one that gives you life and takes life away. I am the one that numbers your days. I am the one that knows your future. I am the one that knows your steps. I am the one that has privilege and honor coming your way. And listen, girls, you need to tap into your resource. Yeah. But when you are doing your own thing, making your own time for your own ways, we're not tapping into what God has and his time, his will, his ways, his resource. And what are we doing? You know, so many times I hear, oh, San Bernardino, it's the poverty capital of America. And we're poverty mentality, this and that and this. Okay, this is what I think. I think if we could get the people in the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, we could start training them what the Word of God says about you and them and the people out on the streets. And we can say, listen, God has called you to be the head and not the tail. He has given you the mind of Christ, so you're smart enough to go get a job, go back to school, do what it is you need to do. You are a woman of God. You are more powerful with God behind you than you ever thought you could ever be in your whole life. This is what God is asking us to give. Time. So that he can speak life into your hearts. Okay? Let's look at some of the people in the Bible. There are some amazing things that are wrapped around food in the Bible. Did you ever know that the Bible talked about food so much? I had no idea. And so until I started studying this, I'm like, dang, we really are people that like food. Okay. Adam and Eve, the whole fall was because of an apple. Okay? In Genesis 2, Jacob and Esau. Big old hunter comes back, sells his whole birthright to his brother for lentil soup because he was starving. I mean, come on. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't just that they fell because of homosexuality. It was also because of their gluttony. Gluttony is food, overeating, laziness, lushness, like all of it. That's why they fell, along with homosexuality. In Ezekiel 16, you can read about it. These people ate their way out of the will of God. Wow. They ate their way out of the will of God. Sometimes I've heard people say, oh, guy, I'm just so stressed out. You want to go eat? So stressed out, you want to go to Starbucks and get a donut? And sometimes I wonder if, oh, I'm so stressed out, I need to go be with God.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean? How many times have we been hurt by someone and we start to eat because it just kind of makes it feel a little better? You know, it kind of releases some of the pressure. I don't think that's always necessarily a bad thing, but I believe that God is asking us at this time to take this month and to fast something. Okay? I need the will of God in my life. So if fasting is the way to get the will of God in my life and to get it in alignment, then I'm all in. So, I'll tell you what I've been doing, and I'll give you an example. Okay, Pastor Dan and I are doing a Daniel fast, but not a legalistic one. Now, you're like, what does that mean? If you go online, you can look at the Daniel fast, and I think that you're back under the law when you do stuff like that. I'm going, what the heck? Then you shouldn't be doing anything on Saturday either, and you shouldn't be. It's crazy. We're just doing no meats, no sweets, and no wine. Well, we don't drink wine, so that was pretty easy. So, but maybe you do. So no meats, no sweets, no alcohol. Because back then, that's what they had. That was what their food was. And let me just tell you, I am a carnivore. Oh, my gosh. I absolutely, is it carnivore? Yeah. I love meat. I mean, every night I'm like, ugh, vegetables. Like, last night, Dan and I were just like growling at each other, you know, before he had to come to church. And I'm like, it's just the food. Just pray. Come on, let's pray. You know, like, it is good. And I'm showing this to you because I want you to see that this is part of fasting, okay? I'm a living example. Now, in a corporate fast, that means you guys, what we're saying to you is do whatever it is you do. I don't know. I know that, like, my two sisters love Coke like nobody's business. They would turn into a Coke bottle if they were. If they could, they would swim in it in a pool every summer. That would be their swimming pool. And their wine is Coke. So whatever it is that is whatever your cup of tea, then maybe it's that's what you fast. I'm not saying what we're doing that you should do, but you find out what you want to do. Some of you are so addicted to the stupid internet and to stupid Facebook, which is fake friends and fake realities. And seriously, it's fake. It's all fake, by the way. Anybody can make themselves look so wonderful, and then you talk to them in person, and you're like, that's not what you said yesterday. So then you're, like, judging people, like, behind your back, you know, like. So I do encourage you to fast something electronic, but I'm going to challenge you to fast something with food, okay? Because in the Word of God, fasting was sustaining from food, okay? So, yes, you can. My husband said do whatever you want. I'm saying, no, girls, I'm calling you to a higher notch. Pick something with food, okay? So we're going to read in Isaiah 50. I thought it was funny he told me to go here, considering we're doing a corporate fast at the beginning of this year. I'm going to read it in the message because I think it makes a lot more sense, all right? And I know we all just need it very simplified. All right. Shout, a full throttled shout. Hold nothing back, a trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Wait, what? That's kind of like, yay, full throttled shout. Wait, what's wrong with us? Yeah, maybe he's talking to us about something, girls. What's wrong with their lives? Face and family Jacob of their sins. They are busy, busy, busy at worship, loving and studying all about me to all appearances. Their nation of right-living people, law-abiding, God-honoring, they ask me what is the right thing to do, and they love having me on their side. But they also complain. We do this fast, and you do not look our way. We humble ourselves, and you do not even notice. They're telling God this. Well, here's why. The bottom line on your fast days is profit. You drive your employees too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and you fight. You fast, and you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your prayers off the ground. Let's talk about this for a second. I'm going to use me as an example, okay? Pastor Dan, in the beginning of our fast, decided on the first day he was going to do an ultimate fast. Now, we will talk about what an ultimate fast is. We're going to take our time through this, okay? So if we stop, we'll pick it up next week. And he decided for 24 hours he's not doing anything but water. This is the one day we get a date. And I'm sitting there like, are you kidding me? Really? Like, and my dad's so funny, he's like, take him for a steak dinner and just, like, eat it in front of him. You know, like. So not was Pastor Dan crabby. No, I was crabby. I was so mad at him. I'm like, what are we going to do? Seriously? We can't do anything now. And I just bickered and bickered and bickered. And then I got over myself. He's like, come on, get in the car. I know where to take you. We went to go see Lights, and then we went to go see the movie Unbroken, which I do recommend. It's a great movie. And then we had a great night. And then I'm reading this in the morning because I've been studying for a long time. And he's like, and it says, And at the same time, you bicker and you fight. And you fast with a mean fist. So I'm sitting on the couch downstairs. Nobody's up. It's just me and God. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, you were really bad. And I'm like, I really was. And he's like, he did that for me. And you gave him a hard time for it. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. So as soon as Dan came downstairs, I'm sorry, I fasted wrong. You were right, I was wrong. And he goes, well, thank you for saying sorry, you were wrong. So listen, you will have moments of crabbiness, okay? But catch yourself and repent and keep going, okay? This kind of fasting won't get your prayers off the ground, and that is so true. I didn't hear nothing the first day, okay? Nothing. Do you think this kind of fast, this kind of fast day I'm after, a day to show off your humility? To put on a pious face and a long face and parades around solemnly in black? Oh, gosh. Do you call this fast a fast day that I would like? I don't think God wants us looking like we're broke, down, busted, and disgusted. Because he went to the cross for us to be redeemed and whole and reconciled and restored. So he's going, please, this doesn't match. Okay, verse 6 through 9. This is the kind of fast day I'm after. To break the chains of injustice. To get rid of exploitation in workplace. To free the oppressed. To counsel out debts. What I'm interested in is seeing you do this. This is what he wants from us. Sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless and the poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available for your own families. Ooh, that's big. Sometimes you girls can be selfish. You know, I need to do this, I need to do that. No, I'll get to that in a second, kids. I'll do that. You know, maybe you just need to stop and do something that is not comfortable for you or outside of your box or something for someone else. I believe that heaven stands at attention when we put ourselves to the side, not just in our fasting, but in our time. Yeah, good. Be there for your families, girls, because I know God wants that. Do this and the lights will turn on. I love that. And your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The glory of God will secure your passage. Then you will pray. God will answer. You will call out for help, and I will say, I am here. I don't know about you, but I want to hear, I am here. I want to see the righteous just blessed. I want to see this church grow. I want to see my kids love the Lord with all their hearts. I want to see that when sin is coming at them that they go, nah, not interested. I know something better and bigger than that. Yeah, I know about that situation. I understand the world I'm growing up in, but the Word of God tells me who I am as a child because my mama put this in my heart. Because my mom sat down and took time to read the Bible with me. Because my mom got in there and prayed over me in the middle of the night when I was sick and when I was broken and when I was crying. Listen, girls, you are the ones that have to fight for their souls. And you cannot do that doing your own thing. God is not calling a selfish woman. He's calling a woman who sacrifices and who is generous, who prays and who fasts. And that's what he's asking us to do, is kick it up a notch, girls. Fasting is a big part of our Christian walk with the Lord. Many times it is talked about shortly. You know, like you'll hear in church, okay, we're going to call a fast. And a lot of times people are like, what is that? Maybe you're newly saved and you're going, I really don't know what a fast is. A fast is abstaining from anything with food and seeking God's face. Okay, that's just a simple explanation of what fasting is. But we're going to get into what fasting entails. What are the benefits of it? What does it require of us? What are some examples in the Bible that people that have done it, okay? So, let's get into this. Let's talk about what fasting is. If you're taking notes, they should have it up on there for you. Number one, who should fast? Are you guys ready? The body of Christ as a whole should fast. You, me, the girl next to you, the girl behind you, the girl around you, your husband at home should fast. Your kids can fast. Hello, my kids keep asking me every night, are we still fasting dessert? Every night. And I'm like, well, tonight you don't have to. You know, so start them young. I believe that, you know, I'll tell my kids, okay, today we're totally fasting this, and let's pray for this. Like, we are praying for someone, and we're believing God for just a blessing in 9 months. And my kids are fasting for that. They're not doing dessert. They're not doing, and every time they pray, that's the prayer that comes out of their mouth. And I love that because I'm like, that's awesome. My four-year-old is praying for this. Listen, they're not too young to learn how to do what it is God has asked them to do, okay? So the body of Christ should be the ones that fast. The body of Christ has been told time and time again to do this. Let's look at some examples. Moses was on a 40-day fast, and he received the Ten Commandments. All right, that was worth it, right? In Exodus 34, okay? 27 through 28, if you want to go back. I'm just going to reference these. Esther called for a 3-day fast when the lives of the Jews were being threatened, and they lived in Esther 4, 4 through 7. Hannah wept and did not eat over not being able to bear a child. And God brought her a baby, the prophet Samuel, okay, in 1 Samuel 1, 7. Many others have fasted throughout the Bible. Jesus himself fasted. Paul, Peter, you, and me. I believe that we all should make fasting a part of our walk of life with God. So it's not just this month corporately. I am challenging you that you take time in your lives, that maybe when you're not getting that deep answer and you're kind of stuck in a situation, take time to fast. It doesn't have to be a month-long fast. Maybe it's just a day fast. Maybe it's just, you know, for a week and you take a meal out of each day. It can be all different types of things. Fasts look many different ways, okay? So, but that is who should fast. We should fast, okay? Why should we fast, number two? People have asked me, is it a command? Did God command us to fast? No, God has not commanded us to fast. But when the Lord begins to talk about fasting in Matthew 6:16, it says, moreover, when you fast. The key word here is when. I believe that it's just a part of our life. I think that God says, listen, just as you pray, you should fast. Just as you, you know, read your Bible, fasting should be a part of your walk, your daily routine with me. Okay? Some of you are going, oh, man, seriously? Okay. But no, it is not a command. In Matthew 6:16, it says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like those hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they are disfigured faces, and they may have to appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say unto you that they will have their reward. Ugh, that scares me. Listen, God's watching everything we do. He knows the intent of our heart. And a fast is not for the pleasure of getting people to be like, oh, you're fasting, okay. No, fasting is all about your heart with God. This is such an intimate moment with the king that he says, listen, this isn't about other people, this is about you and me. The key word to this is when. When we walk as Christians, this chapter, I want you to read Matthew 6 eventually, okay? Matthew 6 talks about prayer, talks about giving, talks about fasting. They're all three chord strands. They all work together. Those three things together, I begin to break the bonds and the hands and the assignments of the enemy. You wrap up whatever he is he's got planned with prayer, fasting, and being generous. You know that he likes to keep you ungenerous? This is a whole nother message, so I might go into it later. But when we can stay stingy and stubborn with our time, with our money, with our resource, maybe you have something that you know someone said they liked. I mean, my mom is such a beautiful example of this. Somebody said they liked her shirt. We were at a Christmas party. And we were like, where'd she go? She like disappeared. We're supposed to be taking a picture. She comes back with a different shirt. She takes a shirt off her back and gives it to this person. That, now listen, I know you hate this, but that is what God is talking about. That whatever it is we have, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you paid for it. It doesn't matter. God will replace it. God's going to bless them and bless you. And you know what? You cannot outgive God. Okay? So remember that, girls. When he's asking you to be generous, he's asking you to step out in faith, and you can't outgive him. We fast to draw near to our King, to be in direct contact with him, to have access to hear him clearly. You guys need to hear God so clear that you know that you know that you know. Have you ever thought, oh, I don't know if that was God. I don't know what he was saying. I'm not sure if he was telling me to do this or if he was telling me to do that. That would be a good time to fast because then you can have a direct connect. You know that you hear, I'm telling you, at the first of the year, probably every time in me and Pastor Dan's life that we have heard where to go and what to do on the beginning of the year. It just never fails. Every time we have fasted for something, God opens a door. I remember we were praying for Ryan, and we were fasting for Ryan because his intestines were plugged up. And he was going to have to, what is that thing called? Like a Sprung's disease or something. And he was going to have issues with bowel movements and everything for the rest of his life. And we all said, we're going in too fast. We're going to just believe. And you know what? Ryan is pooping on his own, which I know gross, but hallelujah. You know, when you're a mom, you know, nobody ever tells you, yay, they pooped, you know, like. But a fast, I believe, broke it. And I know that I remember when Hayden was in the hospital. We went on a fast for Hayden because she had major surgery, she was totally healed. And listen, I know that you are here at Girlfriends. And if you're believing God for something, the girls next to you, if you know that they're on board, ask them to fast a day for you. Ask them, hey, listen, this is going on in my life, and I was wondering if you could connect with me on it. Can you just believe? Right now I'm asking you to put on your list my dad during your fast. Heal his back supernaturally, that God either heals him miraculously or the surgery is something that will definitely work. Because you hear all the stories, oh, it didn't work for me. And I'm like, get behind me, Satan. You know? So we got to keep ourselves in faith, girls, okay? So link up with power and faith, okay? Draw near to God. Charles Spurgeon says this, never has heaven's gate stood wider, and never has our hearts nearer to the central glory. I don't know about you, but I want to be right at heaven's gates. I want to be in that central glory of God. And when you are fasting, that is such a beautiful time to be in an intimacy, in a love relationship with your King. You may not get it, guys, from your husbands. You may not get it from your children. You may be, we are women. We need to be loved. Let's just be honest. We do. But it never means for us to go look for it in a sinful manner or in another place. Our love that we have been lacking is right in front of us the whole time. His name is Jesus Christ. There has been times that I have been broken. I have felt very alone. I have been beaten up, kicked to the curb. And I just remember I would sit in a church service and I would cry. And I remember I got this vision of God just wrapping his arms around me and holding me and not saying anything. And I'm telling you, he knows how to comfort your heart when no human being here on earth can give you the right answer, when they can make you feel better. No human has been qualified to even give you what it is you need. But the one who made you, the one who created you, the one who knows your future and your destiny is longing and asking you to put aside time to be alone with him, to deny your flesh, deny what it is that you are putting in your body so that you cannot be hearing the voice of your flesh, but begin to hear the spiritual voice of God. And that's what he's asking. Many times we fast for lots of things. And I'm not saying that fasting for things is wrong. It's actually what we should do. But I love how God is. He's just so cool. Kim, did we get those pieces of paper? Okay. So there's going to be a piece of paper I'm going to hand out to you guys when we do the breakout sessions. And it is a list. And I was downstairs. Okay, I always go downstairs because I figure if I could sneak downstairs, maybe my kids won't hear me. But for some reason, my one knee cracks every time I go downstairs. And my daughter has like sonic ears, like, bing! Like, dang it. You know, so I've been trying to tiptoe down so my knee doesn't crack because I just want to be with God, you know, alone. So I'm downstairs and the Lord is talking to me about our fast. And he says, what is it you want to fast for? And I said, well, first of all, I want to fast just to be closer to you. I don't want anything else but just to be closer. And then he said, that's exactly what I want. And I said, okay. And then, God, I need your will for my life. Because I could pray everything I want to pray. And I can ask for the world. But I want to ask for what it is you want for my life. Because when we begin to ask for the will of God for our lives, everything then begins to line up and change. And all of a sudden, you get a heart for what it is you're asking for. So if you asked for the other thing and you were like, oh, actually, I didn't really want that. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Oh, wait, I really didn't want that part of my life. And listen, God knows what he has for you. So on your list, it's going to say getting closer with God, and then it'll say for the will of God in your life. And then there's going to be blank spots because that's where you fill it in for what it is you are believing God for in your life. It may be healing. It may be financial breakthrough. It may be a job. It may be for me, it was guard my tongue because I have big mouth. I'm not going to lie to you, I do. Obviously, you know that. So, there are things that I am praying and asking God to help me with. So, those would be your things. And then Dan came downstairs and I said, what are we fasting for? And so then we put some things on the list that me and Dan were believing for. And then at the very end, the kids came down and I said, what do we want to fast for? Theirs were pretty funny. And so we put them on the list. They want to go to Hawaii. And we're like, are you crazy? Like, seriously? And they're like, no, we believe God. He can provide anything. And I'm like, all right. Like, who am I? I'll go along with it. So, so anyways, you just got to bring the kids into it, too. Ask them what it is they want to fast for. Ask them what it is. You know, number one was that Baba was healed. That was what they put on their list. And number two, I'm going to announce it, Robin's pregnant. And that this baby was going to live and be a blessing because Robin has had 3 children, all of them been in ICU ever since they've been born. So we're believing you're going to take that baby home, and it's not going to be in ICU. So what are you fasting for, guys? What are you fasting for? Okay? So find out. Bring your family into it. This can be a fun thing because then now it's like, what are you eating? The other day, you want me to tell you a funny story? So I'm downstairs, I'm chopping vegetables, and Dan is sitting at the table, and he's eating something, but I'm not paying attention to what he's eating, right? And so we're talking about probably church stuff, and he's just chowing down. So then later that night, he goes, did you see me, what I was eating? And I'm like, no. And he's like, you bought these butter cookies with jelly in the middle of them. And I'm all, yeah, those are for the kids, like when they're not fasting. And he's like, but jelly is fruit. And so I thought, oh, I can eat these. And I'm like, no. No. How many did you eat? Like 4. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So listen, you may have moments of breaking your fast. He just said, oh gosh, God, I'm so sorry. And he just got right back on it. Don't become legalistic. When we first started fasting, we were so legalistic. I mean, to the point where it was like a friend of ours' birthday, and there was like this smorgasbord of like beautiful desserts, and this meal was really expensive, and we couldn't have the desserts. And I'm like, Dan, please just let me eat the dessert. And he's like, no, we're on a fast. You won't break it today. And you know what? I look back at that, I'm like, stupid. I should have just ate the dessert, and God would have been smiling down on me. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal. So I'm telling you, he's not legalistic, okay? It's about your heart. It's about your heart. He's looking at your heart, okay? Because we don't want to get into judgment, because that's very easy to do, okay? Individual fasts are between you and God, and corporate fasts are between, like, all of us, right? So all of us are in on this together. It's kind of cool, right? So if, you know, I'm drinking coffee, I'm not fasting coffee, but if you are, too bad. I'm sorry, you got to smell it. Okay. Whatever you do, give up. Let it mean something to you. My sister-in-law, okay, who likes Coke, she says to me on the front row, I go, so what are you fasting? And she's like, water. And I'm like, Stacy. That means nothing to her, okay? By the way, she was kidding. So make it mean something, okay? Whatever it is that you're fasting, let it mean something to you. Then it will mean a whole lot to God. Because he knows what we love, right? Now, listen, don't go fasting your children, okay? Sorry, I'm just fasting doing laundry this month. I'm fasting, you know, dealing with my husband and his drama. Not an option, okay? You'd be available for your family. Remember what it said in the beginning. He's covered all these bases, okay? So, remember, something means something to you. It means a lot to God, okay? What we do during our fast, we pray and we spend time with God. Listen, you can get busy learning not to eat or drink whatever it is you're doing and still not spend time with God. Okay? So this is what happens. You get the hunger pain or you get that desire for whatever it is you normally go after. That's when you stop and you, for me, it helped me. I made a list. And I personally think of my list in my head and I'm like, thank you, God, for whatever. My dad's healing, you know, and at that moment. And I just cast down that hunger pain. And then I just begin to pray. And then when I get into my word like I do on a daily basis, which, girls, you should on a daily basis because it is life and breath for your day. You need it. Then when you do that, I'm telling you, it opens up. The word of God becomes so deep. It becomes exactly what it is you need for that moment. And your time with the Lord becomes very clear and very real and very prevalent and very monumental for your future and the future of your family. Okay? So seek his face on these matters for breakthrough. When you feel the urge, eat. Okay? So, I mean, when you feel the urge to eat, don't eat whatever it is you're fasting. Okay, denying the flesh is easier said than done. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Yeah, just try fasting no food. Okay? It will take strength. Okay? So you are stronger than you know. Sometimes I've heard people say, oh, I just couldn't handle it. I break my fast and we're done. Listen, you are not that weak. Really? Like, God is not asking you to do something you can't handle. Okay? So if you've committed this to God and you've agreed to, with God, okay, this is what I'm going to do, then you know what? Be strong, girls. Pull out your inner woman strength inside of you. You can do this. You are stronger than you know that you are, okay? It will take strength. It will take willpower, okay? It will take discipline. Oh, discipline. You know, those things like called boundaries and like borders and like things that the world tells us we don't need anymore. Yeah, those things. So those things may have to come back into play in your lives. Listen, there are times and seasons for things, but when you're fasting, let nothing get in its way. You will find that distractions get in the way of whatever it is you're fasting yesterday. For example, I'm giving you lots of examples, okay, so that you know that when you're going through this, what you will experience. I'm like, I'm going home and I'm going to study, okay? Well, I went home and I have a friend that called and we went over some things. And we were talking about some plans for the future. Man, I got all excited about the plans. And it was a great brain break. But did I get to study? And I was like, Lord, forgive me. I got so distracted. He laughed. He didn't care. He was like, it's okay. You need a little brain break. But, you know, when you are committed to do something, do it. Okay? So it might be that you have to, like, say, not right now. Okay, kids, not right now. I need to go be with God. Not right now. I've had to do that with Dan. Not right now, Dan. Like, go help the kids. I'm going to go be with God. And the cool thing is I have a godly man. He's like, please, go be with God. You know, like, he knows it's better for him. So you need to tell your family, hey, listen, guys, I'm going to go be with God right now and make time for that. Turn the phones off. I should turn my phone off. Turn off your iPads. Turn off your computers. Turn off whatever it is that could be a distraction so you can hear the voice of God. You can focus in on what it is that he needs from you. Okay? So, easy to get distracted, so try to help yourself not get distracted. Fasting to the world is done. Did you know that? That people that are not saved fast. People that are not Christians fast. They fast for many reasons. They fast for, like, dietary reasons. They fast for, like, health, like, to power and, like, spiritual things as far as, like, kooky-wooky stuff. So, listen, we're not doing that, okay? We're fasting to link up with God, all right? We're not fasting to lose weight. Or whatever it may be. It may end up that you do, which is awesome. So maybe you're breaking a habit, which is good. You know, it takes 21 days to break a habit. Did you know that? So it might be a really great time to break a bad habit. Okay, so maybe you fast that habit. All right? But biblical fasting is for gaining spiritual purpose. We are not fasting like the world fasts. We are fasting because we're gaining spiritual purpose in our lives. Okay? And don't let your fasting be done in vain, but in the freedom of Christ. This isn't a command. This is an opportunity. I love that. This is not a command. This is an opportunity. Now, I have a few more points that we're going to get into. Actually, I could probably finish so that we can move on to the next thing. You guys mind? Okay, last one. What are the results of fasting? You're skinny. No, I'm just kidding. Fasting reveals the things in us that control us. Fasting shows us that we are sustained by God and not by food. Okay, so let's say you're fasting, okay, and you're really angry the first few days. Now, this is normal when you are fasting, okay, to be angry the first few days. But let me tell you this. When you are angry and then that anger doesn't go away the rest of the month, it's probably an issue. That has nothing to do with you not eating. You have an anger issue that God is bringing to the surface and going, okay, now deal with it. It's right in front of you. It ain't going away. Deal with it. Face it head on and work it out. So maybe those might be some things that if you're aware of, you can kind of go, oh, this has not been going away, and I need to deal with it. Because God does not want us to remain the same. Matthew 4:4 says, But he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I love that. We don't need bread. We just need God's word. You know, when Jesus went and he fasted, for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't need anything because all he needed to be with was with God. And don't fool yourself. The tempter comes right after that to tempt you, as Satan did that day. Fasting helps keep us balanced in life. Okay? We are, as humans, allow what we crave to speak louder and as the loudest voice in our life. I don't know about you, but how many times have you... I know when I was pregnant, I remember one time I wanted a cinnamon roll. And I didn't get a cinnamon roll for like 3 months. And I never stopped thinking about a cinnamon roll. It's amazing how your mind and your body will crave something and not let it go. You know what I mean? And so this is where God is saying it really has more control over your life than you realize. So the benefit of dominating your cravings and dominating yourself with the word of God will benefit you. When you fast, it puts you back in the discipline of God, and we now come under the mighty hand of God. This discipline is freedom. You say, oh, I feel so bound by some of the things, some of the habits, some of the ways I do life. Listen, if you need some freedom in some of your ways of doing life, that's what God has for us, okay? So let's get there. Starting your year off right with fasting is a wonderful way to give your first to the Lord. God sets you up for blessing for the whole year. God wants your lives to be first in your life in every way. God talks about how our tithe is supposed to be first, right? 10% of our money that we earn, 10% of that goes back to the house of God. God talks about that. He wants your first. In the Word of God, he says to the church, go back to your first love. You know, he wants the first. He wants the first in our prayer time. I notice that the Lord is like, don't do anything except for saying hi to me when you first get up in the morning. Connect with me first. Because the kids will always have something to say. The husband will. Sometimes it's all I can do, just lay in bed and be like, hi, God, I love you. And then I have to get out of bed and keep going. Okay? And then I come back later and I pray. But just connect with him. He just wants to be first. And this is what this time is going to do. It's going to reconnect you back into alignment with what he wants. God is asking the girls here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center and the congregation as a whole to kick our lives up a notch. To let this year be a new year of deeper relationships with our King. There was one section that I didn't get into. There are different kinds of fast. Okay, let's talk about three fasts real quick. There's an absolute fast, a normal fast, and a partial fast. Okay, these I know it's a little technical, but this might help you in what you want to do. An absolute fast is no water and no food. I do not recommend this fast. This should be short and under medical supervision. Okay? This happened with Paul in Acts 9. But listen, when you do this, you better hear an audible voice from God that you do it, because it's seriously not healthy unless you are sustained by God in this fast, okay? Because no water, the body can't go that long without that. A normal fast is a couple of days and you drink lots of water and broth to sustain you, okay? A partial fast is you give up particular food or drink for a period of time. For example, Daniel gave up meats and sweets for 10 days, then he went into another fast with meats and sweets and wines, and he received his answer from an angel. Individual fast is what we talked about, and corporate fast as well. So those are the three different types of fast. What we're calling is the partial fast. Okay, so we're not saying give up all food forever. Whatever it is, pick something and be in fast and prayer with us. So anyways, I know that was a lot of information. I got through it all. Oh my gosh. But did you get something from God today? Yeah.